Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said, "Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." Today you get to hear one of the most often misquoted passages in all of Holy Scripture. Even those who know very little about God's Word know that it says this: "Judge not, and you will not be judged." Some who do know quite a bit about God's Word still act as if this is the only thing that Holy Scripture says. They sort of think that it means the same thing as their coexist bumper sticker. You believe whatever you want, and I'll believe what I want, and we'll get along unless you do or say or believe anything that disagrees with what I believe or how I live. Very often, though, the same people who believe this way are in an accident, or they run afoul of the law with someone else, and they certainly want that guy who sideswipes them to be judged, to be found guilty, and then to pay for the repair bill. They want them to pay what they owe, but for that there must be judgment. The very same people often have no problem judging that your biblical beliefs are filled with hate. Do you really think, though, from this passage in Scripture that God wants us to do away with law and order? Do you think that God would agree with them that His holy word is filled with hate? Absolutely not. In fact, His word tells us the greatest love story that has ever been written. You can't take this passage out of context, out of the context in which it is written. You can't separate it from the rest of Scripture either. In John's Gospel, Jesus says, "Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment." Does that mean Jesus has just contradicted himself? Didn't he say, "Don't judge and you won't be judged"? Again, Jesus says, "If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day." So are we to judge rightly, or are we not to judge at all? I think we've already determined that we make judgments every day and we must judge. So what then is it to judge rightly? Again, John writes, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world." So by what standard will you test the spirits? By how it feels to you? If it seems right? No, only God's word can be that standard. Judge rightly. Test the spirits. Search the scriptures. Listen to Jesus to know the truth. It is every Christian's duty to judge doctrine, whether what is spoken to them is true or false, whether it comes from God through His word or from the devil. And what is doctrine except that which a person believes? Not all confessions are true. Not all paths lead to the true God. In fact, Scripture says there is only one way to the Father, and that is through His only Son, Jesus Christ. So again, how do we understand this oft-misused text? The first verse of what was read in the gospel lesson is the key. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. You see, those words do not set aside God's law or the laws of our land, but instead they urge us to be merciful in our judgments. It talks to us instead about forgiving sins, not holding sins against. Because he even says that too, forgive and you will be forgiven. You know that every man, woman, and infant child was conceived and born in sin. Is it surprising then that people sin against you? Is it surprising that you're a sinner? We should not be so shocked. No one is righteous, not even one. You cannot live up to a holy God's standards. You can't even live up to your own standards. Without God's mercy and his forgiveness to you, there is only death. Do you remember King David and the episode of his sin with Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah? Do you remember how the entire royal court knew exactly what King David had done? How many of them were even asked to cover up his sin for him? How the commander of the army knew that he had caused one of his mighty men, Uriah, to be left alone and killed in battle? Do you remember that he wasn't bothered by his sins even in the least? At least until God sent the prophet Nathan to him. Nathan told the king a story about a rich man with many lambs and a poor man with a single ewe lamb that he had raised in his own home. He told him how the rich man had unexpected company come into town, and the rich man, instead of taking one of the many lambs that belonged to him and preparing it for the feast, went to his poor neighbor and stole the only ewe lamb that he had and slaughtered it to present to his friends. At this story, King David's anger raged, and he judged rightly. He declared before Nathan and his entire court, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this thing deserves to die." And at those words, the prophet Nathan said to David, "You are the man who has done this." Nathan knew exactly what David had done, but even though he was God's prophet, he did not stand there in judgment of David. David judged David. Nathan only spoke what God gave him to speak. And by God's holy word, the prophet helped David to judge rightly and then apply that judgment of sin to himself. And when he applied that judgment of sin against himself, upon understanding the weight of that judgment that David himself had just spoken against himself, he replied to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And immediately Nathan said to him, "The Lord has put away your sin, you shall not die." The prophet Nathan, God's called servant, voices God's judgment. "You, David, are the man." And then when David repents, Nathan proclaims something else that doesn't belong to him. He proclaims God's forgiveness. "The Lord has put away your sin. Be merciful, even as your heavenly Father is merciful." That's what last week's text was about too, right? Not the prodigal son, but the merciful Father. So judge not the deeds of others, you who have logs in your own eyes and cannot see clearly. You who are blind, why do you try to lead others out of sin? You who think that you are without sin, go ahead and throw the first stone at your neighbor that you have caught in sin. You cannot judge anything rightly apart from God's word. You will not judge others rightly either unless you first judge yourself. Unless you apply the judgment that you would level on others to yourself and your own behavior, to your own sin and failures. St. Peter says to the church in Jerusalem, "It's time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God?" The blind cannot lead the blind without stumbling and falling into a pit. From these words, you must hear that the pit of hell is real, and that those who do not have God's word about Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life, they are blind guides. If they teach you that there are many paths to one God, if they teach you that if we just get along, God will be happy, if you listen to them, if you follow them, you will both fall into the pit of hell. The day of judgment will come, and those who reject God's word and his Christ will stand before the heavenly judge without an advocate. They will stand and be judged by the word that God has already spoken to you. The books will be opened. They will be judged by their deeds, by their own false judgments. With the measure that they have measured out to others, so will it be measured to them. Jesus' words will ring in their ears, but it will be too late. No real Christian wants this day to come for any unbeliever. We want what Jesus wants. We want all people to hear the truth and to come to the knowledge of the truth and to be saved. God himself is slow to anger. Vengeance belongs to him. And so he calls us to be slow to anger, to be merciful, to judge ourselves and not others. When Jesus tells us not to judge lest we be judged, he tells us that we are not to put ourselves into his place, that we ought not be quick to stand in judgment, to stand in the place of God and condemn someone else when our sins are equally evil and even worse. This is exactly why in our communion statement, we explicitly state that we cannot judge the hearts of someone else. No man can do such thing, Jesus alone. But we must judge the confession made with the lips and lived out in the lives. Not all confessions are equal. Jesus did not come to condemn the world. He came to take on the world's sin and to defeat the devil's reign through death. He gave up himself to save us all. No one is excepted from the mercy that he gives. That is not hate. That is the story of love. But like in the days of the flood, when the destruction came and many died, so will it be in the day of judgment. All those who refuse his word, who do not believe that he alone is their savior from sin and death, will meet him face to face when he comes to judge the living and the dead. And there will be no more mercy for those who have continually rejected him and the word that he has spoken. As we wait for that day of judgment, St. Paul tells us to hear the Lord's words, to repent of our sins, to return to our baptism, and in sincere faith, to take, eat, to take, drink Christ's body and his blood. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread and drinks the cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Therefore, let a man examine himself and then eat the bread and drink the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when you are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. Those words say it all. If you judge yourself, you don't have to worry about judgment on anyone else. There is plenty of log to take out of your own eye. If your loving Heavenly Father did not care for Joseph in the Old Testament, then he would not have protected him through all the trials that his brother set before him. He would not have lifted him up into the place and position in Egypt that he was. He would not have led him to say to his brothers, "Am I in the place of God? I do not condemn you." If your Heavenly Father did not care for King David, then he would not have sent the prophet Nathan to help him see his own sins and to lead him into repentance and faith. If your heavenly Father didn't care for you, then he would let you go your own way. You could coexist with whatever other religion you wanted because it wouldn't matter. He wouldn't care what you believe. He wouldn't warn you about following blind guides or about falling into the pit of hell. He wouldn't send you someone to preach his word to you, to call you to repentance, and then to grant you his forgiveness. You are the man. You are the woman. You are the child who has sinned against God and in his law. Judge rightly and know that these words of his are true. We have sinned against our neighbors. We have sinned against our own flesh. Because of our sins, because we are unmerciful, unloving, and unforgiving, we deserve God's wrath. We deserve nothing but eternal death. But though our sins are as scarlet, they have been made as white as snow. Though our sins are great, our God's mercy is far greater. He does not hold your sins against you. He has paid the price for you with his own life and blood, so that even though you die in this life, you will not die eternally. Blessed then are you, for your sins are forgiven. Your God was not overcome by evil as you often are. He overcame evil with good. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, has been put into your lap. Our mercy and forgiveness certainly have their limits. Our spirit may be willing, but our flesh is weak. We are too stingy with our forgiveness. But God is not like us in these things. He is not like the cheap merchant who gives as little as possible, who measures out every last ounce. He forgives without exception. His grace has no limit, and it is beyond all measure. He fills your cup of blessing completely full, even to the point of running over. And then he asks you to share the same mercy with those around you. Come then and taste his goodness. Receive again his mercy. And then go out and be merciful, even as your Father has been merciful to you. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Ryan Wendt. You've just listened to a sermon preached at Christ the King Lutheran Church in Billings, Montana. I hope that you heard God's law that reveals your sin and his precious gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, that your sins are forgiven for his sake. These sermons are posted not as a replacement for gathering together with other believers around Christ's word and sacraments, but for our members who are away at school, at work in foreign countries, or who for some other reason are not able to be with us regularly. If you've been listening and do not have a church home, please consider contacting us through our website, and I will be happy to help you find a faithful congregation and pastor near where you live. Or if you're listening to us locally, why don't we get together for a few minutes and talk more about what we believe? If you'd like to support the work the Lord is doing through his word in this congregation and in our community, please get in touch with me through our website. The Lord's richest blessings to you this week and always in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.